Hi, I'm Corbin Blue from High School Musical 3, senior year. You're watching Disney Channel.
Hello there.
Hello. This is like an ASMR. Hello.
Hello.
Do you watch ASMRs?
No.
We should introduce what the show's called.
Hi, welcome back to Disney Channel Original Groupies.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Jackie.
And this week I think we're just jumping into it.
We are jumping into it. Right here we should put push it to the limit.
I'll do it. Every time we add a music cue, I'm going to include the part where you're like, we should include this part.
Totally. I'm very, very excited for this. I don't think I watched Jump In, actually. Like, as a 14-year-old, I think I thought that I had, but I don't think I actually did.
Exactly my thing. And when I suggested I had memories of Jump In, and I think it's because when the promotional materials and the music videos and things were coming out, that was right at the cusp of when I stopped watching Disney Channel.
Yeah. I mean, I never really stopped, but yeah.
Truly by the time, and I know that by the time it came out, I had stopped because the version I was watching online had all these promos at the bottom of the screen for Suite Life on Deck, and I know that I jumped ship before On Deck started.
Was that an intended pun?
I think that was mildly intentional.
Also because on the Fam Jam, like the Fam Jam songs that used to come up on the Family Channel, Push It to the Limit was there.
I remember that.
I mean, it was a huge jam.
In the lead up.
It's a great song.
That was also around the time that I got my first my first own laptop, and I was using it to listen to Radio Disney a lot at the time. And Push It to the Limit and Jump to the Rhythm.
Jump to the Rhythm. Ugh,
were,
such a good song.
Had circulation. We should explain what this podcast is, but I think it's self-explanatory.
In this podcast, we are reviewing and just talking about the best parts of all of our favorite DCOMs, Disney Channel original movies, and we hope that you enjoy it. We have a Twitter account. You guys can totally follow us on it. It's DCOM Groupies.
Yeah, DCOM.
I'm very
Groupies.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about what's been going on in the world of Disney this week.
Right, so
this one is just so funny.
I messaged it to me.
I fully sent Rebecca a Facebook message with this content because, I can't. Anyone that knows me knows that, I plan to wed Zac Efron. That's, pretty, that's, a regular thing.
Yep, still on the table.
It's definitely still on the table. But then this week it was announced that he's going to be playing in an upcoming movie. He's, stepping out of his comfort zone and playing notorious serial killer Ted Bundy. I just can't.
And so this was crazy because I had told Jackie not that long before that other Disney Channel star, not really of our time, but still one that we were keenly aware of, Ross Lynch of R5 and Teen Beach Movie. And what's his show called?
Austin and
Austin.
Is
Allie
that Austin,
Austin
and Allie?
I don't.
Like the one where
he's a songwriter.
Yeah. She's just a regular girl.
So I had seen a thing that he would be playing Jeffrey Dahmer. So this has turned from a couple of separate curious Disney news stories into a real trend.
This is actually a thing that's happening. And Zac Efron has for some reason made the decision to only do the shittiest movies possible in the last 10 years.
The Neighbors movies are decent.
I literally couldn't. I just did not enjoy one moment of the Neighbors films. He's just been doing Charlie St. Cloud, Baywatch.
Charlie St. Cloud.
He's only doing the prime, the shittiest of the shit films.
Why is that?
I don't know. He has talent.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to do that whole singing, dancing thing anymore. Okay, fair. But, don't do that.
I would really love to see him follow the route of Channing Tatum.
Yeah,
right? Who started
exactly.
with the singing, dancing, but has transitioned into just being amazing, picking movies that, let him shine,
totally.
Let his charisma come through.
Totally. Channing has that down. And, he also, totally started with that dance movie, a classic, I'm rich and you're poor, but let's dance movie,
Yeah.
That's a genre.
As pioneered by Dirty Dancing, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's just gonna be really fucking weird, and I'm probably not going to watch it.
Is it, like, gross to ask, like, if you could now cast, like, another Disney Channel star as another serial killer, what would you do?
Oh my god, who could, like, even do that? Like, Shia LaBeouf, obviously.
Right. Well, that's almost, like, that would just be...
That would be sad. Life.
Yeah. I would like to see Shia LaBeouf... No. Who would be a good...
Like, I don't even know. Everyone's so...
I want to see... Oh! Cole Sprouse as Jack the Ripper.
Okay, Cole Sprouse could totally do it. You know who else could maybe do it? That guy, what's his name? Like, Moises... Like, the guy who played Rico in Hannah Montana.
Oh, yeah!
Because he's really weird now, right? Also, the guy who played Oliver is also really weird now. So okay, I think so both of them
Rico,
could totally...
Rico, I thought, turned into maybe, like, a cool kid.
He's, like, cool.
But is Oliver... Oliver, I bet, is just, like, bizarre.
He's, like, posted a picture once of him inhaling, like, 16 cigarettes at once. And I remember just being like, I'm done here.
I put the killing thing in my mouth so that it doesn't kill me.
Oh man,
that's just some, like, El Gort humor for you.
She's like, Disney Channel men, please stop trying to play serial killers.
It's really weird that society shames Disney Channel girls who go bad when I think, like, these Disney Channel boys are just as hot of messes.
Absolutely. And, like, I can't even think of that many who are normal now. I can't.
No. Yeah.
Weird.
Like, what's up with, what's Jackson doing? How old is he? 50?
Jackson is literally probably 50 years old. Anyway. I think this is when we need to, like, really clear the air here.
We have some vested interest in Corbin Bleu as a figure, because we, I guess we could pretty much say that we're friends of Corbin
Bleu. I... ruined his life one day.
Was it? So it was June of 2014.
Yeah, we should put, like, going back in time.
Should
music.
I get Maddie right now from the other room?
Maddie's totally home.
Back, we got Maddie.
Okay.
Hello.
This is Maddie.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast, Maddie, also my roommate.
Also true.
So, okay. So this is actually, like, emotional for me to talk about. Like, okay. So the time was the summer of 2014.
Maddie was in town.
Maddie was visiting. Maddie's from Vancouver, so she was in town visiting. This is before she lived with us in Toronto. And we went, I, like, took her out to this really nice restaurant. I invited Rebecca. Like, we were all going out. It's called Gusto 101. It's on King West in Toronto. It's, like, a nice, cool restaurant.
It was very hip.
It was a very nice restaurant. I had a good kale salad. It was good.
They have a great kale salad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, we were just chilling. You know, we had our meal, like, completed at this point. And, like, a fun weird fact about me is that I have, like, I just can't function sometimes in public. Like, I'll just have, like, muscle spasms or
that's
like
the best way to describe
or I'll just, like, trip. I'm just, like, a la Lizzie McGuire, like, the worst possible things that could happen frequently occur.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like you guys at this point are kind of like, haha, you're an idiot. Like, let's move on. So we were paying, because the meal was, like, over, we were paying with our debit machine that they, like, bring you, like, a handheld device.
The wireless. It's cordless. It's chunky.
It's, like, a big, but, it, you know, like, a regular person can definitely handle themselves, like, around a debit machine. And, like, I don't know what happened here. But just, like, as the table next to us was wrapping up and, like, they cleared it for the next party to come in, I just, like, was like, nah! And just, like, launched this debit machine across the room and it hit a man in the leg. That man, I did not see from afar, like, picks up the debit machine.
Kindly.
Very kindly.
Yeah, he was really courteous.
Walks over to me, like, looks me in the eye and is like, here... I look him in the eye. It's Corbin Bleu.
I immediately realize this.
Yeah. So
and lose it and just go silent.
Yeah. Like, Maddie knows, obviously. Like, we all know Corbin Bleu.
I was facing the other way.
Yeah.
I didn't even
second.
Believe you, I think.
So I have this note on my phone that I've saved because it's so fucking funny that I just,
like, it was just, like, a grocery list. And then at the bottom, I just wrote in caps, Corbin Blue. And then I just, like, shoved my hand in Rebecca's face and showed her. And then she realized that that meant, like, Corbin Blue is who I just injured. He's coming right to the table next to us. And we were...
silent.
Dead. Like, we just... We stopped speaking, like... I blacked out from that point on.
But there's a picture. I have a picture.
So well, that's a shout out to the incredible interior design of Gusto 101.
Is there are mirrors kind of running
everywhere.
Along the top.
Exactly. And so you and I tried to kind of fake pose so unsubtly.
No, it was me. It was you and me.
Is that what...
I was taking a picture of you guys being like, you look really good. Good. Yeah.
But in the mirror,
it was so obvious because we were next to them. Like, we were
oh my God. His girlfriend at the time, who he is now married to, like, obviously was, like, fully aware of what was going on. We were beet red. But there's this hilarious photo, and I think we should tweet it.
Yeah.
Where, like... Rebecca's trying to take this photo of me and Maddie, and in the reflection, like, you can see Corbin, like, just enjoying his meal.
Yeah.
I will never get over that day. Yeah. And I've never lived it down, so if you're friends with me on Facebook, that explains why once a year I post, like, a in memoriam status about Corbin Blue. It's, like, whenever, because after I immediately posted a Facebook status, I was like...
this happened.
Yeah.
I remember I had a priority list of phone calls that I made to friends who I knew would give a shit.
Yeah.
And I called them all as soon as we left the restaurant. I was like, gotta call Rebecca, gotta call, like went through my list.
I remember that we exited the restaurant, and then, like, once we were out of sight from, like, the restaurant, we ran as fast as we could down the block.
So
and
we
then
could, like, scream.
We were next to a dumpster, and we just looked to each other like, yeah! Oh, man.
Yeah.
Good times. Cool.
So still, like, the highlight of our young lives, probably.
I will never
That's
do anything.
That's my peak 2014. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I can't think of something that happened better, more exciting, or more C-list celebrity than... That might be generous, but...
Yeah. That was just, like...
At the time, that would be generous, because I think he was off Broadway.
Yeah. And Corbin, if you're listening, I'm really sorry about your leg.
Yeah, he'll never double dutch again.
He literally has no recollection of this, but that's okay. Anyway.
So thanks, Maddie.
Thanks for having me.
Tell this very important story.
Anything you want to plug?
he was great when he was on Broadway, and we can't forget that.
Right.
I don't even remember the name of the show that I saw him in.
I'm trying to remember what you saw
him in.
It
was like... Spanish music.
No.
Which means it really left a mark.
Clearly.
But he was good when he was there. I saw him in grade 10 in New York.
He looks good with short hair.
Yeah.
He's actually incredibly attractive now.
Yeah. And so is his wife.
Yeah.
So we wish them all the best and we plug their happy marriage.
Yeah.
I would say that's accurate.
Cool. Thanks, Mads.
Thanks, guys.
Catch you on the flip side.
All right. So that was a little guest spot, a little cameo with Maddie.
I love it. Okay, so let's jump in with the movie.
Okay, so we start with...
the greatest line, I think, in cinematic history, which is Brooklyn. Home of Brooklyn Bridge, Prospect Park, and teen boxing sensation Izzy Daniels.
Three things that just scream Brooklyn. It's crazy that there wasn't, like, a full season of Girls that was just, like, about Izzy Daniels.
Because, like, how could you... He's a teen boxing sensation. Like, yeah. What is he doing?
Brooklyn is kind of, like a character in the movie, you might say. He's, like... Brooklyn's, like...
Yeah.
So, Corbin is Izzy Daniels. He does boxing. He wears... a very ahead of its time kind of man bun, but it's like a man poof.
Oh my God, I love it when Corbin does his man bun. It's so cute because he has such a baby face. The thing with Corbin in this entire movie is that he's such a little Broadway rich kid.
I know.
That he can't play the part of, like, being this hardcore boxer. Like, yeah, he has the arms and he's really fit, but, like, in his, all of his scenes that, like, have to be like Brooklyn, like, he just... I don't buy it for a second.
Every time he says ain't, it sounds like my parents saying lit. It's the least believable.
Oh my gosh.
So he, like, parkours all around Brooklyn is the other thing.
Which is amazing.
He's full Aladdin, one jump ahead of the red line. Like, bouncing off the walls, flipping off the fire escapes.
Yeah. And I wonder if that's really him or his stunt double.
I think it's him. And also the scene where, because I was already thinking Aladdin, and then he, like, cops an orange.
Yeah. So it opens on him, like, parkouring around Brooklyn, obviously. And obviously, because it's the Disney Channel, immediately he goes back to his house, and we find out he is missing a parent.
Yeah, that's what
First thing. The other thing that we find out immediately because it's the Disney Channel is that, regards to boxing, there's some sort of, like, cities or, like, regional competition.
Regionals.
In the horizon.
He has regionals and Kiki has regionals.
Kiki is his friend Mary, who lives next door, and she is an avid jump roper.
Yeah. Roper or ropist?
She is a ropist.
ropist.
That sounds really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, two classic Disney Channel tropes immediately at the beginning. Dead mother, city/regional performance.
I would like to see your two tropes and add a third, which is the sassy little sister.
Oh my gosh. The sister is amazing.
Also, kind of, though, I want to say, like, the laziestly conceived sassy little sister, I think, maybe in any Disney property I've ever seen.
Really? I thought she was great.
She was okay. She was great in the first scene, and then I think as they built, it was a bit, I don't know, I was really flagging. Anyway, also, his dad's making secret sauce for special spicy daddy's spicy sauce.
Daddy's spicy sauce. Yeah, so we learned that, like, Corbin's a boxer, he has these two friends, one's named Chuck, the other one's Little, I have no idea what his name is.
It's good that you got the names, though.
Oh, just because I think Chuck is super hot.
Oh, yeah, he was.
He was incredibly attractive, and so I, like, noticed.
Other one was, like, a full Timon. Like, he was this tiny little wisecracker.
Who just, literally, his entire purpose of the movie is to make sexist jokes at every second, and it's like, stop. Like, we're, like, 10 minutes in the movie, he's made, like, two sexist jokes about ballerinas, and we're like, we get it, dude. Like,
this is a movie that, again, like Cadet Kelly, is exploring gender in a way that, like, I don't think it's even a stretch to say that's what this movie is, like, so doing on the surface all the time and is very awkward about it.
It's really weird.
It doesn't know what it wants to be.
No.
In relation to that. So, yeah, his friends are kind of these gym rats who hang out with him at the gym.
Yeah.
And
he makes fun of Kiki Palmer all the time because she's a ropist.
But they also make fun of the girl boxer for being girl boxer.
Yeah. Which is super lame. Also, LOL, Kiki Palmer's team is called the Joy Jumpers.
The Joy Jumpers!
Was she in Joyful Noise or did I make that up?
I can look it up. I do also want to say Joy Jumpers would be like, we should start a brand of male rompers called Joy Jumpers.
Totally, yeah.
I really hope that's not stale by the time this comes out, like, a week from now.
Yeah.
I just typed in, instead of typing Kiki Palmer, I typed Joy Jumpers. I'm going insane. So he is, like, gym legacy because his dad or his grandpa started the gym.
Yeah. And so he has, like, a lot of pressure on him to maintain being the best, the teen boxing sensation that he is. And he has cities coming up, so he's, like, training a lot for it. Side note. Do we think that he had some sort of contract with Disney regarding his hair? Like
he had to keep it Chad length to be Chad.
I think he, like, had to keep it that length and or it was insured. Like, you know that rumor about how J-Lo's butt is insured for $10 million?
Or Julia Roberts' smile.
Yeah, like, I think his fro had to have been insured.
Update, Kiki Palmer was fully in Joyful Noise. She sings Man in the Mirror.
Amazing.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was, like, a trademarked do.
Yeah.
Always seemed like, didn't you always see when he was double dutch jumping, like, this is going to get caught in the ropes?
Yes. Yes.
But through movie magic.
Yeah. And a shout out to his arms once again. They're just great.
His arms are great and they really get a chance to show off here.
Yeah, because they're always oiled.
And as he's training, his dad says something about never leaving yourself open. And this seems like one of the many metaphors of the movie that he's going to have to learn to, like, get past.
Yes. So Izzy Daniels has, like, this contest, this, like, boxing thing against his, like, arch nemesis, Rodney.
Rodney!
And he beats them, and then Rodney's super salty and demands a rematch. And we find out that Rodney is very poor.
Yeah, because we see the guidance counselor giving him a garbage bag of clothes, which, like, fully, my family was, like, all my clothes up until the time I was, like, 15 was just garbage bags of clothes from, like, family friends with older kids.
Yeah.
That's just how you do.
Yeah. So that was, like, kind of sad.
Wait, did we talk about the jump? Did the Joy Jumper regionals happen yet?
Oh, we totally skipped over that.
Because it's really, like, lame.
The Joy Jumpers, they always, like, complain about, like, how they've got what it takes to, like, be the best. But, like, we see them in a regional competition, and they are incredibly below par. Like, the other arch nemesis team, the Dutch Dragons, have, like, much more skill.
I think it's part of it is that they hired, obviously, for the Joy Jumpers, people who are triple threat, mm-hmm. double Dutch, act,
yeah,
dance. Whereas for the other ones, they clearly were just able to just get jumpers.
Totally. And, like, yeah, they're straight up jumpers.
And,
like,
they're really good at jumping. The speed round.
Oh, my God. Filming this movie must have been a nightmare. Like, I just couldn't stop thinking, like, what sports bras do they wear? Would have to be V-supportive. Like, the cardio in this. Like, imagine this being, they probably filmed this scene at 5 a.m. Like, I feel you, Kiki, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just, like, a moment of silence for Kiki.
So, yeah, so Corbin goes, sorry, that was our moment of silence, which was just, like, awkward radio space. So Corbin, Izzy, watches them at the regionals, even though he teases her about it. And he, like, really perks up at the boy jumpers. Oh, when he sees that there's a boy team, he's like, oh.
Yeah, it's, like, kind of.
He gets really excited. I really like that all the teams have an outfit change for the freestyle round.
I love it.
That's a crucial element of this sport, is that the costume for freestyle factors into it.
The outfits are so matchy-matchy, and it's, like, it's not the early 2000s, so there's really no excuse for this. Like, the outfits, yeah. Like, the matching socks and, like, the hairbands, just, like,
yeah, I guess
sparkles.
DCOM as a genre is the excuse, because that's just, like, how... Because it does feel, like, of a different time.
It does. It feels way earlier, and you're like, wait, this is in 2008. And I've thought that in a couple points in the film, where I was like, this doesn't really... This wouldn't really happen.
But. I also made a note that I really liked the fourth, like, the team member who I liked from the Joy Jumpers was the one who was like, I'm leaving, before she was leaving, and then I was like, well, shit, that was the one that I liked. I
put all my eggs in one basket there.
And yeah, so the boxing match that he had with the bully came after, and this is when I started to realize, like, maybe this is a very bad movie. Because boxing is, like, I feel like some of the greatest movies of cinema are boxing movies.
Yeah.
And it's, like, if you shoot it well, it's, like, great. Like, Raging Bull and Rocky and Creed are, like, all, mm-hmm. and The Fighter, like, for whatever reason, even though boxing, I feel like, is not a major part of the culture, IRL is very much, like, a thing that, like,
totally.
Directors are, like, I love to film this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And boy movie fans are, like, I love this. And I'm, like, okay.
Yeah.
But here was one that was really just, like, not... filmed that well, and I started to get very, very bored. I like that
it's
the ref looked like Pop Tate, because he was just like a real old-timey ref.
Totally. Yeah, I got bored because, like, there's so much of the movie space dedicated to Corbin liking doing double Dutch when he's, like, they lose their team member, the Joy Jumpers, then he's like, oh, I'll help you guys, like, in the meantime. So he's taking his mind space away from boxing, which he shouldn't be, and, like, spending all the time on the double Dutch courts with the ladies. And there's just, like, a lot of time in the movie dedicated to, like, them practicing.
So, like, this movie is 2/3 training montage.
It really is. But at least in the middle of that, we get that killer song.
Jump to the rhythm and dance to the...
Does Kiki sing that song?
Yeah, I think it's a Kiki Palmer
single. It would be, because it's an unreal song.
It's really good.
It's just catchy. So that really, like, perked me up in the middle there.
And even the bridge in the middle where it's like, jump in.
Yes.
Jump out. It's so good.
Yes.
So what else... Even, right, so as you mentioned, he volunteers to join them to be their fourth.
And they're practicing a lot, and they're making him, like, do things, stepping out of his comfort zone. There's one scene where they have, like, a mini rap battle between them, and listening to Corbin Blue rap, I can't. Like, Kiki obviously is sharp as a tack, so she slays.
She's great through this whole thing.
She's actually a really great actress.
His acting is straight up wooden.
It is just, like, because he is not meant for this. Like, he was mm-hmm. a child who did ballet, like, on Broadway. Like, he
was not destined for this role. They chose him, like, because he was, like, the one relevant black DCOM star at the time.
I mean, they could have got Zeke.
They could have, but Zeke didn't have the star power. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's just, like, a sad, that was, like, a sad thing about
of Disney at the time, and Disney still.
Still, yeah. They, like, probably have, like, one, like, token minority star at any given time.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, so, like, that's why he got this role. Like, I know he has the arms and everything, but that's about it. So he raps, and it's incredibly uncomfortable for him.
Fully reminded me of, like, being at Jewish summer camp in the dining hall doing, like, a Shibuya roll calling around the table. It was like, this is weak.
Yeah. Also, then they start, like, training a lot, and they don't even try and hide his stunt double for, like, the really intense jump rope scenes. Like, it's fully just a man wearing an afro.
Yeah, and they just had to do fully, like, we'll just shoot the feet.
Yeah. It's really obvious.
Also, they live in, like, the fucking fanciest part of Brooklyn.
Seriously.
They have found the street where they keep practicing outside. They found the most suburban-looking street in all of New York. They put, like, one yellow taxi in the background. And like, it's Brooklyn. And it's so, like, this is full Park Slope, Prospect Heights. Like, just, like, nice.
It's very nice. They kiss, which was really cute. There's one scene where she, like, kisses him. Even though she's way better than him.
Yeah.
Kiki, that is.
She's too good for him throughout this movie. And I think he takes up too much space in this movie. Because having Kiki as a character, and she even has her little thing towards the end, which I guess we could talk out of order because who cares, where she's like, where it's kind of another theme of this movie that it doesn't fully stick to, is that very millennial thing of like, oh, parents pushing their kids too hard at an extracurricular activity.
Totally.
She does the whole thing about like, yeah, I did ballet, but I was bad at it. Now I'm doing something I love. And it was like, so they've made this character interesting. She's acted very well. It sucks that we're not spending all our screen time with her.
Totally. So, meanwhile, like, Corbin is rehearsing with these ladies every day, and then one day, Rodney comes into the gym that they're rehearsing in and sees that Corbin is doing double dutch and freaks out, and so decides to pull out his film camera.
His old-timey, like,
so large
over the flash and pull the light.
It is so large. Like, this is 2007. Like, you fully would have had... Not a camera phone, even though, like, those were totally out, and I would expect something cool and hip to be like that in a Disney movie.
Like a Motorola Razr, a Sidekick.
A digital camera. Like, come on.
That one that flips and had the little USB you can plug in.
Oh my gosh. Like, something. Like, who is carrying around a bulky film camera?
Even a disposable camera. I was still, like, using disposable cameras at
times. And it would have just been more efficient to, like, put it on your Razr, take a video, put it on YouTube. That was totally a thing. Like, if you want to be a good bully and take photos of the person you hate double dutching, do it well. Come on, Rodney.
A scene of the school watching a video on YouTube would not be nearly as iconic as what happened.
Yeah, where he prints out everything.
He prints out pictures of Corbin Bleu with the word loser written on top on pink paper, which he makes a note of being like, I chose pink. And
so many sexist jabs and everyday misogyny. Like, it's like not cool for him to double dutch because it's a girl thing. And he like writes loser in pink. It's like there is some serious like male ego shit going on here.
Yeah. We should also point out that in addition to there being Mary, there's Tammy. And Tammy's the girl boxer at the gym who exists just to, like...
flirt with Chuck.
Yeah, but she doesn't even flirt with Chuck that much during... It's only at the very end where she's like,
in the
oh, yeah,
beginning,
I like Chuck.
In the
yeah. But she kind of exists, I guess, to offer him advice at some point. I really love how severe her braids were.
Oh my gosh, it was great.
I thought her scalp was going to fully pulled off.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So she, like, tells Corbin after he's been, like, humiliated to run this entire school. She's like, you guys tell me sexist girl boxing jokes all the fucking time. You can get over this. And it was like... true, Tammy. You
also, before Tammy tells him, and before even any of this, we learn that Izzy's going to improve the team because he has witnessed double dutching on the streets. He sees kids in a playground on the blacktop double dutching, and he makes all the girls come and watch them improvise.
It's always on the streets.
And he says a line about, like, well, like, all the best boxers come from the streets, so I figured it would apply here, as if he was taking a lesson from boxing and applying it to Double Dutch, which, like, no, Double Dutch is, like, the one sport that literally is, like, a street-bound sport.
Like, also, is- like, so fake, because he, his dad is the owner of the gym and, like, his personal coach, and he's, like, the star child of the gym and lives in a really... It's just not authentic. Like, they had to make him kind of rich because it's Disney.
Yeah, it's like a Disney princess story. He's like the princess of like the gym kingdom.
Totally.
And he has to like get his the golden gloves.
And then the best thing about this conversation where he's like, I've seen it on the streets and I know what I can do to help you guys, is he suggests they make the name change to the Hot Chili Steppers. Which is the best thing ever to come out of his mouth.
I love how excited they are by Hot Chili Stepper.
Yeah. So obviously they need to change their outfits accordingly and like put on like have this red number when they're like rehearsing.
But that can, yeah, we get a couple of their costumes, which really are fire.
And then they go to regionals.
Yeah. But there's still, that brings us right to the end of the movie. There's
so much going on.
Yeah. We have this classic trope of that we saw in Cadet Kelly, that we've seen in this, that we're going to see in every Disney Channel original movie we see from here on out, which is the thing of like, we need to beat regionals, but everything we do is routine. We need to learn to have fun and add a creative flair, which is just every movie does this and it makes them all so routine.
And it makes it worse.
Yeah, it does. They lose a bit of well, we'll see in the fight. Like, I really, yeah.
Yeah. Like, they always do that. Like, we need to mix it up. And I remember having this conversation with you. This is really random and you probably won't remember. We were talking about Glee in probably, like, the year 2013, you and me. And we were talking about, like, mashups and how, like, that was, like, the mix-up thing that the Glee students are like, we need to do mashups to make it more relevant. And you were like, but I like just regular a cappella groups. Like, we just, like, you don't need to do this, like, remix because, like, yeah. It's so lame.
It is really lame. The one remix I do like in this movie was a weird, like, jump rope remake of the song Jump Around that happened when they were, like, on the street. And it was just, like, jump in and out of the rope. Like in the background.
It was appreciated.
It was great. They have a lot of these kind of, I guess they're supposed to be romantic fire escape scenes that are just, they have so little chemistry, these two.
They have no chemistry at all, and Mary is so much better than him.
Just brutal.
Yeah. But he thinks he's so cocky.
He is really cocky. Yeah. The one thing that, like, where he's earned the cockiness is he's always flipping all over the place. He's just jumping around, doing backflips, bouncing off the walls. And I was every time someone does a flip in this movie, I'm like, oh. His dad catches him sneaking back in through the window because he's been skipping practice. He doesn't have his head
in
the game.
His head is not in the game.
His heart's in the song.
FYI. We've discussed this at length, and after the Corbin incident of 2014, we realized that I totally should have told him that I didn't have my head in the game. Anyway, just a sidebar there. I regret it every day, but it's fine.
There will be another opportunity when we have Corbin on as guest to talk about...
Which will happen. Everybody please tweet at Corbin Blue to make this happen.
Make it happen. So he... gets into a couple fights with his dad about his head being out of the game. I noticed in one of the scenes that he has a glitter lava lamp in his room, and that gave me a little chuckle. But the big fight happens after his dad discovers the pink bullying papers in Izzy's waste bin.
Mm-hmm. He learns he's been double dutching.
And instead of... Okay, well, yeah, so he gets mad at him about double dutching, but did we forget the scene where Izzy skips regionals?
Did he skip it?
Do you remember there's the middle... there are three regionals.
Oh, yeah. Right? He totally bailed. There's
early regionals, middle regionals, and late finals. Regional finals. Regional plus.
Yeah.
And in middle regionals, I think it's a freestyle-only showcase. It's in this big theater, and he doesn't show because his dad got him tickets to a boxing game. And this was a moment where I'm like, Izzy, we're not even on your side. He's kicked out of the group. He comes back in. I don't even, like, remember this being a plot.
Yeah, I didn't. That was really not cool. Like, I get it that he, like, had to, like, make that time for his dad and everything. But once again, this is an instance of the movie where it's like, it's 2007. Y'all had cell phones. We know you did.
just send a text. All you had to do was send a text to Mary. Yo, can't make it. Like, I'm in this thing with my dad. He got me tickets. Like, sorry. Not, like, literally just no communication.
It is wild to ghost a thing that you're supposed to be performing at.
Yeah, that's just, like, super not cool and makes no sense because it's 07.
Also, I wrote in my notes under Hot Chili Steppers, what the actual fuck. So I just saw that. I was really thrown at the time.
That's a real big...
So what else? So he leaves the team. He joins the team. He gets bullied about the team. Lots of montages.
Of him being, like, angry and boxing and shit.
Also, there's one line where the sassy smart sister says, where he tells his sister to shut up when he's when she's...
Oh my god, I love this line.
And she says, shut, don't go up. Prices do. Wow.
Then she goes, so take your advice and shut it too. And it's like, if I was an 8-year-old, I could have come up with a better comeback. Shut, don't go up, prices do? Like, why do we have such a financially savvy child? Yeah.
Well, then again, that's a path that was really laid out by Corey.
What did he do?
On Corey, on That's a Raven. He was all about money.
Was Corey... Oh,
yeah. Corey's thing was always, like, hoarding, you know, money and starting schemes.
You know why I just got confused there? Because I just got Corey confused with Orlando Brown, who played that really intense, like, mean businessman in Max Keeble's Big Move. Like, the one who would make charge people to use toilet stalls.
Okay, that movie should be an honorary DCOM, oh my and God, we should I talk about it. Yeah, so I love how that's a trope. Like, that's from, like, the Recess school of writing about, like, yes, children of, like, oh, each one has, like, a little fake career. This one's the extortionist kid. Like,
oh my gosh.
So, not a thing.
Yeah. Also, when Izzy's, like, talking back to Rodney, who's making fun of him at one point, they say, like, you look real pretty, and Corbin goes, your mom looks real pretty.
Love that line. I love that line.
It's like, wait. That's nice. Like, that's a nice compliment.
That's like a...
Yeah. I'd be like, thank you.
Sick burn.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he gets into a fight with his dad. His dad's like, oh, I see the milk is out. Looking at nothing. I guess looking through the fridge with x-ray vision. I'm going to go out. And he's clearly going out to cry about his son. So he's, like, walking the streets crying. Corbin boxes out his anger. So he's really angry and he's punching his punching bag. And just as he's finishing up practice... Who shows up but Rodney with the whole school.
And he's like, rematch now.
So they're having a rematch. The whole school is there. I want to point something out. Have you ever watched Kimmy Schmidt?
No, sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. But basically...
Should I leave?
Rodney keeps calling Izzy a daddy's boy.
Yeah.
And there was a whole subplot of season one of Kimmy Schmidt. It's very major, where a character, he's like this British guy who she's dating is like, guess you could call me a bit of a daddy's boy. And the whole thing is that, like, a daddy's boy is not a thing. Yeah. And it's super weird to be a daddy's boy. But he keeps calling him daddy's boy. It's pretty funny. And Corbin, now because he's learned through jump rope, he is able to win the boxing match by every time Rodney throws a punch, he
does a backflip. Oh my god, it literally is not boxing.
It's like Dragon Ball Z.
Like, but it's like, yes, it's impressive that you can do that, but that's not the sport at hand.
Like, I loved it. It was like Cirque du Soleil.
But you're supposed to be in a boxing match? Like, that's not boxing. That's just doing flips.
But at the same time, if this was boxing, maybe I'd care about boxing.
But, like, that was just more, like, fake pro wrestling than actual boxing.
If pro wrestling had people doing live, beautiful backflips, like,
maybe it
I'd
does. Would we really know?
I don't know. I would know. There would be a... Instead of... Because I know they smash chairs. If instead of chairs, yeah, it was, like, graceful, graceful pirouettes in the sky.
It,
like,
was very graceful flipping.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
He's a bit like a bird.
So then he does his, like, bigger man moment where, like, Rodney's down and, like, he beats him, but he's, like... Like, let's end this
Which,
beef.
Are you even supposed to punch someone when they're down like that? Like, it was over.
Yeah. But then he's like, let's, like, end this beef. And then, like, Rodney's down. He lets out his hand. And then they shake hands. And they're cool.
And now he admires
What a mensch.
Him. Yeah. A real mensch move. A real, like, let's set aside toxic masculinity. We're sick of being mad. And then I guess it's time for the regionals, the citywide regionals.
And can I say, like, no offense to anybody. If anybody does double Dutch for sport who is listening, please, like, send us a tweet or an email, because I would love to know the realities of the sport. But it feels like there were a lot of people attending. Like, I just don't think, like, with all due respect, I just don't think that that regional would have, like, literally an auditorium filled
but also
with
it's
viewers.
New York, let's say there's, like, let's say there's 200 public schools, which I'm sure there's more. And each school has, like, one group of four girls who are, like, that's our thing. We're the double Dutch girls. We're always double Dutching. And
but
then each of those four girls has a family of five people plus two good friends.
Yeah, maybe. But do you think every school would have a group of girls that's, like, to that level of skill? Like, I'm gonna go with no.
Yeah, I guess not. I guess in, like, the Disney Channel version of
there
Brooklyn.
There needs to be a lot of people. Yeah.
Everyone does. So anyway, this will qualify you for state, I guess. I don't know why I even made a note of that. there's a great little moment of comic relief where their friend Alvarine is going to be the fourth because Izzy's left the team or something. And they're like, we've got Alvarine. And then she trips and adjusts her glasses.
That's what that was in
the
film.
Throws the debit machine across the room.
Yeah. And so then we see the other competitors here and they are honestly phenomenal. Like, there is no way the Red Hot or the Hot Chili Steppers are in any way, shape, or form close to as good as their competitors.
I mean, when you're competing against the Kung Fu Flyers in their, like, full, like, maybe this is quasi-offensive costumes that are clearly kimono-inspired.
Yeah.
They're
literally in the splits jumping over rope. How do you do that? That's incredible.
I can't even do the thing where you jump rope without a little hop in between.
Me neither.
I don't know how people do it.
Yeah.
Never been able to.
I literally don't get
it. Did your elementary school have jump rope for heart?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was a good time.
It was a good event.
Yeah.
We are endorsing today Jump Rope for Heart. Oh, I also really liked the Jive Jays because they had my favorite shirts because they were wearing like a Hotline Bling millennial pink.
Totally.
And that was great.
Yeah, and then the Dutch Dragons were really good too.
As always.
Gotta give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, I'm really happy that my favorite character joined them.
Yeah.
So it's down to freestyle round.
But then they have their moment, the Hot Chili Steppers.
Okay, and a couple things. One is, like, a good half of the routine is just not with jump ropes. It's just a dance.
And it's not even good dance. Like, that was the dance moves I was doing in Hip Hop 1 when I was 8.
That was my question for you because Jackie's a dancer and I'm not, but even I was able to be like, this does not seem like good dancing.
It's horrible. First of all, like, the obvious, like you just said, like, we're literally at a double Dutch competition and 85% of their routine does not incorporate. Flashback to the Dutch Dragons routine. They do that thing where at the end of their routine, they flip their
flip their
rope over their shoulders and walk in unison in a straight line. Like, there's, like, strut down the stage and then they do a pose and then they, like,
hair
and leave, and it's amazing.
I wrote wow factor.
It's just, like, unreal. Anyway, but yeah, the Hot Chili Steppers, not good.
It's,
and, like,
just a bad dance.
Again, watching Corbin do hip hop is uncomfortable. Like, mm-hmm. If he's not in a Wildcats uniform, I don't want to see it. I just
no.
don't.
It, like, these, and I was even thinking when they're dancing to Push It to the Limit that, like, maybe it was done this basic so that they could have, like, one of those High School Musical dance along follow-up versions where they teach you how to do the moves, but
they
it's
don't.
So lame.
Yeah, and also, you just reminded me, their routine is to Corbin Blue's song.
Yep.
Like, that's so meta.
Well, this show has their routine had a lot of cheating. For one, they do it to one of their songs. And then B, they start with the, like, black light thing. Where
they
have
glow in the dark.
With a rope and their, like, gloves and shoes are glowing in the dark. Which is like, is this allowed? Did they talk to the lighting guy all the time? Like, it's crazy.
There's just, like, a lot not really going on there.
There was one point where just, like, one of the, like, not Kiki and not Corbin, but one of the other two, like, does, like, a body roll, and the whole audience gets up and starts clapping. Yeah.
And, like, their routine also, like, incorporates boxing moves. And it's like, I get what you're trying to do here, like, from a movie perspective, but from literally being in the competition, it's not at all relevant to what's going on.
And also from a hip-hop perspective, just doing those boxing moves is kind of when I was in dance class when I was 7. That's like, that was part of our dance to Dirty Pop.
And like, then when the final pose they do, they like walk and then they do like a back to back with their arms crossed, like final pose. And it was like, that was what we all did in the schoolyard.
This movie's infuriating. Anyway, his dad is proud of him. Tammy ends up with Chuck.
Oh, that lucky bitch.
And most importantly, there's been a narrator this whole time.
It was Rodney
narrating to a bunch of children in Daniel's gym.
Honestly, that part, I actually was like, whoa. Like, I did not recognize his narrator voice the entire time. I did not know it was Rodney. Maybe someone far more intelligent than I did. I had no idea.
I realized after the fight with Rodney and Izzy, because I think the narrator came in, and I was thinking to myself, it's so sad that this guy's telling the story, but, like, the most important day in my life is when this guy from my school, Izzy, won a tournament in a sport that I'm not even interested in. Like, it was so...
Yeah, so then it was Rodney the whole time.
Yeah, this is, like, How I Met Your Mother should have been.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so do we have a rating for this movie? I'm going to give it 3.2 Corbin Blue ponytails out of 5.
I'm giving it, 2 backflips out of 5. Right. I did not like this movie.
Like, Kiki Palmer carried the entire thing. Like, honestly, she was amazing.
Firstly, I had a false memory that I watched this movie, and B, I remembered it being good, but I'm realizing now it was just because the songs are great.
The soundtrack's amazing. Everyone go buy the soundtrack.
It was just from listening constantly in the fall of 2007.
This is why Spotify thinks I'm a huge tool, because, like, after watching this, I, like, may or may not have listened to Push It to the Limit a couple times.
My daily mix recommendations on Spotify are, like, mean and salty. It's like it's making fun of me. Like,
literally, though. Yeah, so, like, Kiki carried it. And also, I don't think Kiki was a Disney star, like, if I'm correct.
No.
She had a Nickelodeon show. Throwback to when she was the star of True Jackson.
She was the VP. President. The
VP. Yeah, that was a great show.
Didn't catch it, but obviously Beloved from Aquila and the Bee. It's how I learned to spell Logaria. Like.
Yeah, so I think we should play Who Would You Rather?
Okay, so I think it has to be Chuck, Rodney, Izzy.
Yeah. Yeah, or the dad.
No.
Chuck, Rodney, Izzy. Okay, obviously, are we doing like a kill, fuck, marry kind of thing? Okay. I would kill Izzy.
Same. I think we're going to line up.
I think we're going to line up. Obviously, would
fuck
bang.
Chuck.
No, oh my God.
Fuck, I would, Rodney, sorry. Sorry, I would, just because it rhymes.
I would bang Rodney and I would marry Chuck because he, at one point, like, realizes his sexist ways.
Yeah.
And, like, totally makes an effort and just be like, just because she's a girl doesn't mean she's a bad boxer. In fact, she's really good. She's better than you. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, Chuck. Yeah.
I'm going to have to agree 3 for 3.
Yeah. I mean, like, we're obviously...
I mean, Rodney's good with kids, so that's like...
Yeah, and then he turned into a good guy. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
And also, is that supposed to be him as, like a man in his 30s? Like, I wasn't sure how far out. Is this next week? Like, is this just his summer job, like, running the sport camp?
What are you doing, Rodney? Okay.
So, just, like... I'm sorry that I thought it's, like, the podcast is new and we're jumping in with Jump In. But... I think it started to settle in for me today what it means that we're doing this podcast, that, like, every week we're going to be, like, watching a full Disney Channel original movie, because I did not like this movie.
Yeah.
But it also, it's following Cadet Kelly, which is so good. So.
Yeah. It's just, like, yeah, it was average. I think we should do Where Are They Now? To, like,
please.
See what they're doing. Where are you now
that I need you? Please fill me in.
Okay. So, guys, I put in the work and I did the research.
Corbin's married to that girl that laughed at me at Gusto 101, so fuck that girl.
Rude.
oh my god, it was actually just announced this week that he's gonna be Sky in Mamma Mia opposite Dove Cameron in like some live performance of it, which I think he'll be good at.
Live performance or the 2018 film sequel?
Not the 2018 film sequel. I think it's like a live thing where Dove Cameron plays the main girl and he plays Sky, and I can actually see him doing
that. That's amazing casting. Side note, can we talk about how Dove Cameron's great?
Amazing.
She's amazing.
Yeah, I wish I was her.
Best part of Hairspray Live, which was like a tough thing to be the best part of,
was literally Amber, which is crazy.
Well, actually, also Velma was good. Kristen
also,
Chenoweth,
whoever played Seaweed is so attractive. I don't even know his name.
I want to look it up. That's going to be my plug. okay, so where is Kiki now?
Sorry, I just want to jump back for one sec. When I was searching Corbin Bleu, the like Google autofill searches that came up were Corbin Bleu, Monique Coleman married. I wish. And who died in High School Musical? And I was like, that's kind of that's kind of dark. Anyway, Kiki Palmer has a new song with Quavo called Wind Up.
Nice.
Yeah, I listened to like a second of it, but I didn't really like get a whole. We can maybe play it here. Also, oh my god, this was huge news from this week. This week, Kiki Palmer tweeted to Cole Sprouse that she actually had a crush on him the whole time they were on Disney together.
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. Okay, can I pause about who played Seaweed? This is my endorsement. As he plays, or sorry, his name's Ephraim Sykes, and he is also original Hamilton.
He played
George Eaker, the 4th of July speaker, which is like a pretty thankless role. He's kind of like the Rodney of Hamilton. he's like, wanna fight? So thankless role, but also nice to have one of the like named roles and one of the many Georges in Hamilton.
Totally.
So good for him. His pictures on Google are like wearing a Pharrell style ridiculous hat. So that's a shame.
Yeah.
And that was the Ephraim Sykes report. Keep going.
Okay. Kylie Russell is the girl who played the daughter, like the shut, don't go up, price is up. Like, she is... Oh, she's in a new DCOM coming out in 2018 called Zombies. And here is the description for it in Try Not to Die. Zombies centers on a suburban high school whose students must learn to coexist with new transfer students from Zombie Town, incorporating themes of tolerance and inclusion.
Wow, I'm really happy that, like, DCOM's current metaphor for, like...
inclusion.
For inclusion is
Zombies. Oh my god.
Wow.
Yeah, she has a hot boyfriend.
I can't
too.
Wait. I really like zombie content.
Yeah. And then my favorite, where are they now, of this movie is, his name is Mazin Elsadig. I'm sorry if I totally just butchered that. He plays Chuck.
Okay.
It's a tough name. I'm sorry. Okay, so he was on Degrassi and he like lives in Canada. He was on a CBC show and everything. He just has gotten more finer with age, in my opinion. So when I Googled him, the only thing that came up for an interview was like, he did an interview with 24 Hours, which is like that free Subway newspaper you get every morning.
Yeah.
And in that interview, he said that his favorite restaurant in all of Toronto was the Jerusalem on Eglinton West. Which, like, if you live in the neighborhood of Forest Hill or, like, grew up, like, I grew up in Old Forest Hill, like, that is so fucking random. Like, I don't know why this star, that's his favorite restaurant. Plug the Jerusalem on Eglinton West. You heard it here first. Yeah, and he's also on the Beaverton now, like, the show.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's kind of like Canada's Onion, just for reference for people who don't, right?
For ignorance.
It's fine.
Yeah. It's not that popular. Anyway, yeah, that's like everybody that it has, who's anybody really.
Yeah, that's the who's who of Double Dutch. Oh. So please let us know if you're involved in the world of Double Dutch. Like, does it draw those crowds? Would that freestyle routine be good enough to get them to finals?
I don't think so. But yeah, please let us know what you thought about the movie. Tweet us at DCOMGroupies or send us an email.
Send us an email.
At DCOMGroupies@gmail.com.
We'd really appreciate it.
We have an email address. We would love for you to use it. Alrighty. Well, it's been real. Can't wait for next week. I don't even know what we're going to do.
Hopefully
something better than this.
Yeah, I think that's not going to be hard to do.
Yeah.
If you have any
suggestions,
requests for what you'd like to hear,
please let us know. Yeah. We would always love. There are so many. All right. Well, I will see you next week.
Okay. I wish we even had like a good line from this to close with, but.
Shut, don't go up. Price is due.
Good enough for me. See you next week.
All right. Bye.